Ross at the Cape, drive time it is. 072-238-0712 is the WhatsApp line. 072-238-0712. EFF representatives, led by Julius Malema, met with Unilever following demonstrations over an advert for women's hair products. We all know what that advert was about, don't we? Part of the agreement struck between the EFF and Unilever include the withdrawal of all Tresemme products for 10 days and providing 5 scholarships for African women. But is this a political victory for the EFF? And how does this reflect on the governing party? And the third question, what is going on? Online is independent political analyst Kaya Sotoli. Kaya, welcome.
Thank you, and good afternoon to the listeners.
So what is going on here? Have the EFF scored a political coup?
Well, it's an interesting week that we've had, in that obviously we start off with this blatantly racist advert making the rounds, and there was always going to be the question of which political party was going to respond in a way that resonated with most of the people who were offended, which should have been every single South African, by the way. And I think what you then saw is that the EFF was perhaps a bit more agile in capturing the moment and saying, look, if this is the type of thing that we're seeing here, we know that this is not an isolated incident. It's a very prominent incident, but it actually speaks to the pre-existing racial tensions that exist within our society. So, of course, if we are going to be the political party that is seen to be leading the fight back, then this will resonate with a lot of people. So I just think that it was the EFF that was probably a bit more agile and a bit more finessed in saying this is a an issue that you can capitalize on for political means, and that left the other big parties floundering in their wake and really became an EFF story.
Well, I think there's a party called the DA. You remember them. I don't remember hearing them saying anything.
Well, they did say something.
They said
that cliques should not be yielding to the bullying of the EFF, for example. So they objected to the fact that cliques was indeed engaging with the EFF. And I think that again shows you the very difficult position that these parties find themselves in, because in particular, the DA has spent the past 18 months, remember, trying to disentangle itself from the EFF in relation to the coalition structures that were put together in 2016. So remember, we had one in Tswane, we had one in Johannesburg, and we had one in the Eastern Cape. So for the DA, after the general election last year, and this was highlighted as one of the issues that was a big point of contention within the party, to say, are we now getting into bed with the EFF in spite of just how completely divergent our policy stances have been? So the EFF has actually been engaging in the process of trying to keep as much distance between itself. Sorry, the DA has been trying to put as much distance between itself and the EFF as possible. And unfortunately, in some cases, it may seem to be something that just makes no sense. So for them to simply accuse the EFF of bullying cliques without engaging the substance of that, there was a problem, there was a trigger event, and people were agitated, and the EFF capitalized on that moment. So it's an interesting reaction that they had.
No, most certainly. What do you make of the EFF's original response to it? I think everybody could understand demonstrating outside cliques and asking for them to close. But there were some incidents of violence, very ugly, which interestingly the EFF denied, although commentators we spoke to said it was EFF members that indulged in this violence. So how do we unravel this particular piece of string?
It's a tough one, because at the end of the day, what South Africans always must remember is that historically people know that, you know, going out and picketing outside a particular institution or doing outside a particular institution does tend to get attention, and when it gets attention, it's then a matter of how do you then capitalize on the fact that you are now being listened to. So I think the idea of people picketing outside click stores, for example, is something that predated the EFF and its arrival, and it was simply a matter of they then knew that this was one established way in which we engage in politics in South Africa. So they simply then say to their members, well, go and do that. And I think obviously the tension there was, do they then incite violence? And that then becomes a question of legal scholars. to then say, well, actually, when you then say to people they must go and campaign and they must go and do this thing until change happens, it is inevitable that some parts of it may turn out to be violent because it's very difficult to control a number of people who are angry about something, and when the state apparatus in the form of the police are then seen to be on the other side of the fence. So it's always a very difficult question when you talk about what is the best way to get a reaction in South Africa. Would we be where we are today had the EFF not been as militant in saying something ought to happen? It's very difficult to tell.
It is. I mean, sort of, you know, gauging the responses that we got at the radio station, I think it was unanimous that everybody was disgusted with the ad, and I think everybody supported the sentiments of picketing outside cliques. But I think where people's viewpoints started to change was when we saw this violence, and that to me seems to be the grey area, as you've explained, and perhaps the problematic area, because if any political party wants to go forward, the model where you have violence is going to actually end up antagonizing South Africans despite the validity of the central cause.
Yeah, it's a tough one, and I think some people are even drawing parallels and comparisons to the Black Lives Matter movement to say, well, actually, in a case like that, a lot of people said that, you know, the type of picketing that was going to get outcomes is the one that was perhaps more aggressive rather than more pacified, because if you simply go and do silent marches, maybe the authorities or maybe the systems that you're trying to challenge don't see the matter as urgent as it tends to be when suddenly there's a possibility or even a threat of violence. Because I think, unfortunately, the way things are, that tends to galvanize the state, that tends to galvanize the police to say, watch out, let us protect property. But more importantly, that means that we have to deal with the issue that's leading us to having to deal with these things, because you don't want to be in a permanent state of emergency. So it's a very difficult grey area, and it's not unique to South Africa. Everywhere in the world, you always see where our citizens that take to the streets always have to balance the question of, well, if we do this silently, they'll ignore us. But if we threaten to maybe do things that are at odds with the public interest, then that actually gets a greater sense of urgency from politicians. And that is indeed a fail of political leadership, but it's a reality of what we find.
What do you make of government's reaction? There was one minister who said that she rejected Clix's apology. We had a commentator that said all and well, but if you're in government, you should be playing a more constructive role than rejecting an apology. What's your view on that?
Well, I mean, I don't even know if you want to say that government had a reaction, because you had one standalone minister who herself was just commenting on the basis of what she feels rather than it being an informed government position. We do know that yesterday in the cabinet statement that was released that the government had deliberated on the matter and said they'd observed and noted what had gone on and condemned racism. But I think what we are hoping to see is a very clear stance by the state to say this is where we stand and this is what we think needs to be done. But we do know that government tends to be very diplomatic in some cases, or maybe sometimes simply hesitates to confront issues head on. So it was a very tame reaction from them. And I think that's one of the things that the EFF identified and then said, well, we're going to be the ones that want to be remembered as the people who did something when this story broke.
It almost seemed as if the ruling party was caught flat-footed, is the only way that I can see it.
Yeah. I think that is indeed a fair assessment in that they just quite simply didn't know how to react. And maybe they did know how to react, but they didn't perhaps appreciate the scale of the discontent across society. Because if it was a once-off isolated incident, then perhaps you shouldn't be unleashing your government arsenal on dealing with a minor isolated issue. But in this case, clearly, it was a bigger issue. It really spoke to a lot of people's frustrations, a lot of people's anxieties around race relations. So I think maybe they discovered way too late just how big the issue was.
The identity of the person who let the ad go into the system, to me, is hugely irrelevant. I think you'll agree with me. The relevance is the fact that it actually did get into a public space. This is almost like a rhetorical question. I'm scratching my head. How come some of our top corporations in the country still don't understand all these dynamics? You know, they might have very beautiful CSI programs in place, but they mean diddly squat if you don't apply principles.
It is a difficult one to imagine, because I mean I spoke to the CEO of Clix earlier this week, and I asked him a very simple question that you know, if you have a website for a company, that becomes your primary interaction point with the whole world at large. So my question to him was, how can it be that any random person can simply put something here without somebody senior being fully responsible for saying anything that goes onto our primary interaction point with society, being our website, should never have these particular features? And he didn't want to come out and say, well, clearly somebody had just dropped the ball on that, and this must be a person who's very senior, rather than you trying to identify who was the IT person who simply uploaded a script that had already been written. So it does reflect that perhaps there is a general lack of awareness. But again, how can a person in South Africa be unaware of race relations and race tensions in South Africa? So it's just a matter that it's difficult to explain.
It seems as if a lot of companies just don't get it. And here we are referring to, we had the H&M, the hoodie thing some time ago, which was also a flashpoint. And I'm predicting we're going to have a lot more, because it seems as if these companies just don't seem to understand the ramifications of what you put out there.
Yeah, I think it's probably a reflection of the type of echo chambers that we all, in one way or another, tend to exist in. So, of course, if you're sitting around the room and you're the most senior person, regarded as the one that knows what's going on, and you put this idea out, then other people may either be not bold enough to challenge you, or they may themselves be completely just too ignorant of what really the consequences of doing such a thing are going to be. Now, every single institution then needs to try and reflect and figure out, does it have the capacity to have this type of problem? And if it does, what does it need to do in order for the people that work internally to understand why these things should not be allowed to happen? And what it is that would embolden anyone to even initiate the concept, not only initiate the concept, put it on the table, have it universally adopted, and escalate until the point where it is part of the public disclosure.
Yeah, I mean, as you say, I mean, it really asks a lot of difficult questions. And I mean, the question I'm still asking is how any ad agency in its right mind in 2020 can even contemplate running such an ad with such crazy comparisons. I still can't get my head over it.
Yeah, it's an absolute mess. It really is.
Kaya Sotoli, independent political analyst. Thanks for chatting to us about that ad and the role of the EFF. Stay safe and enjoy the weekend.
Thank you.